The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pro-America Report. This is Ryan Height filling in today for Mr. Ed Martin. He will be with us, actually. He was able to record a couple of great guest interviews, but I am here with you, ready to rock and roll here on the first, and I'm going to bring it back, by the way. It's not just the first segment. You also have to close out the show with me. So that means you get my monologuing, but Ed's voice, you only have to hear half the time because he's got a guest. So I guess that's an unfortunate thing, but you can bear with me today. You can. But I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for being a part of the Pro-America Report family, for being a listener, for supporting this program by listening, by participating, by communicating with us, by sharing. And the number one way you can do that, by the way, go to ProAmericaReport.com. That's how you're going to stay in touch with us. Head over to ProAmericaReport.com. Find Ed's Substack. You can subscribe there. He's putting out things 2 to 3 times a week. A lot of it coincides with what we talk about here on the Pro-America Report. And also, you can go to Phyllis Schlafly.com. That is going to be where you'll find the archives of the Pro-America Report, of this program. And over there on the archives, you'll see all the podcasts. You'll see standalone segments from each of the guests. You'll find links and resources. And most importantly, you can sign up for the Wink email, the What You Need to Know email that comes into your inbox every single weekday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain. You get the point. It will come into your inbox and be very helpful, very short, give you a couple of things that you need, well, something that you need to know to start your day. And then about half a dozen links. We'll link to a great tweet from someone in the conservative world and the right-wing world. And I promise it'll be a good, helpful start to your day in this world of crazy news and trying to establish what in the world is going on and who in the world is telling the truth. The Wink email is your friend. Go to PhyllisSchlafly.com and sign up for that. But we've got a great show, a very, very great show. Mike Davis is going to be joining us today. I'm really looking forward to that one. Mike Davis is always just, well, I like to think Mike Davis is a highly educated and experienced man, but he's also a savage when it comes to telling the truth and to being online. Mike Davis's X account is just amazing. Absolutely one of my favorite things. But he's going to join us and talk today. We've got a lot of stuff going on, particularly there's a story surrounding the Manhattan DA and someone they've hired. That's definitely something I want to hear what Mike has to say on. And then our good friend Hal Shurtleff is going to join us, the founder of Camp Constitution. There's something going on also that he wants to bring in and talk about. Of course, Camp Constitution is coming up this summer, so he's going to tell us a little bit about that as well. But two great interviews you want to be here for. But before we get there, let's dive in to the Wink, the What You Need to Know. And this is actually going to be a little bit of a two-parter, but I want to make sure that there are two things that come in front of your face, that come to your attention, that may not yet have hit your radar, but they both have to do with the same thing, I think. They're both equally important, even though it's a little bit of a different direction on each one of these things. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to understand today, is that the narrative machine is crumbling. Now, make no mistake, the narrative machine is heating up in 2024, but the narrative machine is simultaneously crumbling. They are kicking into overdrive because people are starting to wake up. That is what I am firmly convinced of. I don't think that I'm being too optimistic and hopeful. I think it's a pretty realistic view, but that's what you need to know. The narrative machine is kicking into overdrive because they're getting caught. So here's the two stories that I think are incredibly important you need to understand. One of them is something that is incredibly scary and happened here in the last few days, I think about the last week. But it's still something that I didn't see come up across all of the places that I would have expected it to. So this week, Republican House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, a great addition in the U.S. House, one of our stalwart conservatives who's there, he sent a scathing letter that has been released to to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, a scathing letter on the arrest of a journalist. And you may not have heard this story, but Steve Baker, a journalist for the Blaze Media, was arrested just this past week based on his coverage of events that transpired on January 6th, 2021 at the U.S. Capitol. He was there along with tons of journalists from all the major and minor news outlets and sources. And he was arrested. Not just arrested. The Department of Justice, the FBI, they showed up and apparently pretty substantially deviated from standard practices. He voluntarily surrendered, and yet they subjected him to a formal arrest. They fingerprinted him, photographed him, handcuffed him, threw him in the back of a vehicle, took him to the courthouse, and he was brought before the magistrate in a belly chain, box cuffs, and leg shackles. A belly chain, box cuffs, and leg shackles. I have never before seen someone treated this way who's been charged with misdemeanors, let alone in the United States of America, a journalist has been arrested for covering one of the most major, according to the left, one of the most major events of the 21st century. They have arrested a journalist. This is, and this is Jim Jordan's outrage. This is absolutely unacceptable. This is absolutely beyond questioningly needing good explanations. So he has demanded that the Department of Justice come forward and provide an incredible amount of documentation showing what exactly is going on, why this man's been arrested, how he is being treated, why he's being given this way. So all the documents and communications around his arrest regarding any investigation or prosecution of any other journalist, none of whom, to my knowledge, have been arrested for covering this event. All of the documents and communications he is demanding related to their determination of his pretrial detention and everything. This is big. They are absolutely kicking things into overdrive. The deep state, the big government establishment, whatever you want to call it, these folks have arrested a journalist. They've begun to arrest journalists. So you got to ask what's next. I mean, first of all, they go after their political opponents, and then they start going after the supporters of their political opponents, throwing them in jail. Now they're throwing journalists in jail. I don't think I'm being too hyperbolic here. This is terrifying. What kind of regime does this? Well, tyrannical ones, dictatorial ones. This is what that looks like. You start throwing in jail the journalists who you don't like what they say. Guess what? You don't get to dislike the conduct, or rather the reporting of a journalist, and then throw him in jail or do something about it. That is not how the First Amendment works. That's not at all how America works. And this is going on. So Jim Jordan is demanding answers, but this is just one of the next feathers in the cap of the Department of Justice and this reign of terror coming from the administrative state, where they are absolutely persecuting their political opponents. And I think this escaped the notice of most people. This is something that needs to be on your radar, on mine, and we can't let it go. They've thrown a journalist in jail for covering an event. How unheard of is this, at least in this nation, unheard of. But that's not all. There are definitely cracks as they make these moves. And here's part two of this what you need to know, that they're kicking into overdrive because they're getting caught. Here's the because they're getting caught part. As they kick into overdrive, I think that this is a very, well, it's not calculated, but this is a very specific response, a heating up of what they're doing, of building this narrative and agenda and pursuing it. As they do that, in response to the curtain being pulled back, some of the hurried antics that they have pulled off are being stripped bare, even by people who were their friends. So here's one. The Georgia judge that's overseeing the case against Trump and several other defendants, I don't know if you saw it, but this is another one. This is a part of that. This week, he dismissed some of the charges. Now, make no mistake, the indictment is still in place. The court case is still moving forward. But several of the charges have been dropped because, and this is Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee, who's been in the news quite a bit. He ditched several of these because essentially the allegations weren't detailed enough. His concern, he said, was that the state, the prosecuting, which that, of course, is under its own level of questionability right now, Fannie Willis and her corruption charges that she's facing. But the state had failed to basically allege sufficient conduct from the people they're charging, Trump and his associates, that in fact they were guilty of what they're being charged with. So he threw these things out. So they are so hurriedly, rapidly running forward with these criminal charges and with persecuting and prosecuting their opponents that some of this haphazard stuff and some of the really flimsy stuff, even judges who are allowing it to go forward and entertain it are saying, okay, come on, this has to go. This is absolutely a sign of the hurried and rushed nature of their movements, of their agenda against their political opponents. And I tell you what, I think not only is that going to cause more problems in what they're doing, I think that is evidence of the hurried speed in which they are kicking into overdrive their attempts to retain control. And we're seeing that with trying to kick Trump off of the ballot and all sorts of meddling and all sorts of interference that they are throwing up every which way that has no bounds in history or precedent or anything else. The way that they are treating this public electoral choice that the people get to make in 2024. And guess what? We're not going to let him get away with it. So that's what you need to know. The deep state is kicking it into overdrive and the curtain is being pulled back. They are also losing ground in some very key places. Stick with us. We got a great segment coming up. Mike Davis on the other side of the break, and then Hal Shurtleff later on in the show. Go to ProAmericaReport.com, PhyllisSchlafly.com, and we will see you right back here on the Pro America Report.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Mike Davis is our next guest. Mike Davis, of course, you know, we knew Mike Davis before Mike Davis was quite so famous. Now Mike Davis is, I think, re-truthed by President Trump. He's talked about all over the place. Of course, he's been a dominant force on Twitter for a long time. And actually, that's probably what really got him as much of his attention. He's really been really good at identifying what's going on. And the Article 3 project is his baby. He heads it up. And if you go to Article 3, at Article 3 Project is on X, and he'll remind me. Oh, Article 3, the number 3 Project, I think .com, but he'll straighten me out. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ed, and I don't think I'm famous. I think I'm infamous.
Well, that's true, at least on the Democrat side. I think Republicans find it also entertaining. Somebody the other day, by the way, said that the Iowa Senator, Joni Ernst, is doing the full Grassley, she said. Everybody does the full Grassley now. I mean, of all the things, which means go to every 99 counties in Iowa. And, of course, I always think of you as a Grassley guy, as one of your, and in fact, your ex-profile photo is you either advising Senator Grassley or laughing at his joke. I'm not sure which. All right, Mike, lawfare, it's out of control. You've been talking about it forever. It's out of control. But honestly, is it stopping? It's not abating, is it?
Well, I think that this lawfare and election interference by the Democrats against Trump is the House of Cards is crumbling. The Democrats are going to do everything they can to stop President Trump on November 5th, 2024, through the legal system, because they know politically the American people want to put President Trump back in the White House, because the Democrats, 2 impeachments for nonsense, 4 indictments for non-crimes, 2 several unconstitutional illegal gag orders on a defendant. They're trying to bankrupt Trump in New York for non-fraud. Jean Carroll got a Democrat judge to extract $100 million from Trump for a bogus allegation against him from many years ago. This is the same woman who named her cat vagina and said that rape was sexy. And then she claimed that somehow Trump sexually assaulted her, but the dress she said she wore wasn't even made at the time, and she didn't remember what year this happened. It's another case of Christine Blasey Ford, except for Christine Blasey Ford's grandmother with Jean Carroll. This is all lawfare. This is all election interference. It's backfiring. The Democrats are not going to give up. They're going to fight until the bloody end. And this is going to be decided by the American people on November 5th, 2024.
Mike, when people say, we're talking about Mike Davis again, when people say, Mike, that they want people held accountable that did this, and for example, in the last 24 hours, I'm not sure you saw it because I know you're looking at a lot of stuff, but Barry Loudermilk, the congressman from Georgia, puts out a preliminary report on the January 6th, especially on the select committee, deleting documents, deleting videos, spinning documents, and then hiding the truth, generating testimony from Cassidy Hutchison that nobody knew about and turns out was at least faulty, if not perjury. But in the report, Fannie Willis, there's paperwork between Fannie Willis and the select committee. It's kind of collaborating. Is this something that people can be held legally accountable for, or is it sloppy and despicable and not something that people can be held accountable for?
No, this is a criminal conspiracy to violate these defendants' civil rights, right? There is a federal statute that deals with conspiracy against rights. There's federal statutes dealing with obstruction of justice. There's federal statutes dealing with perjury, subordination of perjury, witness tampering. There has to be consequences for what the Democrats are doing here. They have politicized and weaponized our legal system in an unprecedented and highly destructive manner. I call these republic-ending tactics. And they have ignored violent criminals who are terrorizing American cities while they go after Trump, his top aides, his attorneys, his supporters on January 6th. And it's not just ending with Trump and his supporters. They're going after parents outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in high school bathrooms. They're going after Christians praying outside of abortion clinics while they give amnesty to BLM and Antifa and Hamas and abortion industry activists who are a hell of a lot more deadly and destructive, right? With the BLM riots, we had dozens killed, billions in damage, cities destroyed, not a damn thing happens to them. But we're going to go after grandmas and other Trump supporters who step foot on the Capitol grounds. We're going to go after them for trespassing on January 6th.
But Mike, is when you say that they held accountable in civil rights law, is there criminal liability or is it mostly civil?
No, there's definitely criminal liability, and that could also be pursued for criminal conspiracy against rights. And I would also say this. Where are these local DAs? Where are these state attorneys general? Remember, this is a conspiracy. These four indictments are a conspiracy with the Biden White House. President Biden has his fingerprints on every one of these unprecedented indictments against a former president who happens to be the current president's chief political enemy. Remember, right, with Alvin Bragg's indictment in New York for the felony of a businessman settling a nuisance claim. The Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, transformed settling a nuisance claim into felony campaign violations, campaign finance violations in New York. This is a theory that the prior Manhattan DA, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself declined to prosecute. It wasn't until Matthew Colangelo got sent from the number three office in the Biden Justice Department. He was the politically appointed number two to the number three, a very senior Justice Department official. Matthew Colangelo went to Alvin Bragg's office and resurrected this zombie case and brought the first indictment ever against a former president back in March of 2023, right? And then with this Fannie Willis case down in Fulton County, Georgia. Fannie Willis illegally hired her secret boyfriend, Nathan Wade, unqualified buffoon boyfriend, to bring this RICO case against Trump and 18 others. And this is an unprecedented indictment, a bogus theory. They're using a RICO conspiracy that you use to take out the mob. They're using that to go after Trump and his 18 supporters. Guess what we find out with this? Oh, number one, Fannie Willis was taking illegal kickbacks in the form of lavish trips around the world after she paid her secret boyfriend $250 an hour, $700,000 to prosecute Trump and the 18 others. So she has an illegal financial stake in this case, which is going to require her disqualification likely this week and maybe hopefully the dismissal of the case, so another prosecutor can be brought in to figure out whether this is a legitimate case. It's not. But more troubling is that Fannie Willis had Nathan Wade bill his time for his meetings with the Biden White House, including the White House counsel, before Fannie Willis brought this indictment against Trump. Well, what the hell could he have been meeting with the Biden White House counsel with other than this case? So it's, he's clearly involved there. And then with Jack Smith's case, his two bogus indictments, one for January 6th, one for documents. Remember, it was Deputy White House Counsel to Biden, Jonathan Sue, who waived President Trump's claim of executive privilege, constitutional claim of executive privilege going back 250 years for every president. Jonathan Sue waived that claim on behalf of President Biden. And so that led to the unprecedented indictment against Trump.
Mike Davis, real quick, Colangelo up in this guy that's basically run up there to do this deal, to do the dirty work or to direct what's happening, Matthew Colangelo. What is there some way to get to the bottom of that? I mean, is that guy this is the bullying thing. Biden's are not even hiding it. They're bullying. Is there a way to get to the bottom of that guy? I got less than a minute. Sorry.
Yeah, so House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan has issued letters to these various prosecutors for their coordination. I think he needs to move forward more aggressively with subpoenas of records and subpoenas of testimony. Haul these people in and make them explain to the American people why the Biden White House, why President Biden and his Justice Department and his White House are coordinating with these Democrat prosecutions against Trump.
That's the smoking gun on this one. All right, Mike Davis, as always, thanks for taking the time. Good luck on the road. You're doing a lot of great work, and we appreciate it. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Time to check in with my old friend, Hal Schertleff. And of course, Hal Schertleff, famous. We talk about him a lot here. CampConstitution.net. I think he'd like when I say that. That's what he's really famous for. He gets these young people together. They get to a camp. They're taught about by the best people about the Constitution, about our America, why it's wonderful to love it. Camp Constitution this year is July 14th through the 19th. That's a Sunday through Friday. Go to CampConstitution.net and you can check out more. Of course, Hal is known. He's also litigated cases to the Supreme Court to protect religious liberty and freedom of speech and freedom of association, everything else. In this case, he sent an email out to his list. I assume it was to his list. It made me immediately jump on it and email him because of the topic. So first of all, Hal, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
again.
No, always a pleasure. Hal, this email, it is a, what, 20-year-old? Tell us what it is. It's a fascinating audio clip of a famous lefty loony now when he wasn't so lefty. So walk us through this.
Yeah, well, Joe Scarborough, he was a congressman from Florida. And when he was first elected, it was, 94, 96? I think it was 94. He was a very principled anti-establishment Republican, and he didn't even go along with some of the stuff that Newt Gingrich was pushing. He co-sponsored a bill that Ron Paul authored to get us out of the UN. He was very pro-life. There was a couple of pro-life bills that he was pushing, even to protect. I think one of the bills was to criminalize if there was a murder of a pregnant woman, that baby would also be considered she was pregnant. And that would be obviously at the federal level, not the state level.
Right, right.
So, and now he's it was interesting because in 1996, he was the guest speaker at a John Birch Society council dinner in California. And he's talking, he's making reference to a man in the audience. His name is Walt Ruckel from Florida and his wife. They were big. He's not on the staff, but he was a council member at the time.
Right.
At John Birch Society. And no doubt a big supporter of him. Just obviously, he was probably the man that invited Scarborough to the event.
Right.
And you're listening to Scarborough, and I said, is this the same guy that we see on MSNBC's A Morning Joe? I mean, he understood what was right and wrong. He understood the problem. He wouldn't have been at that meeting if he was just some kind of nominal conservative who doesn't know up from down and just votes the way the party votes, wants him to vote. And it was interesting, too, is that Brzezinski, speaking of Brzezinski, was one of the top deep staters of his time. That's even before the term deep state was used. He was the founder of the Trilateral Commission. Right. He was a close associate of Rockefeller. He was a Council on Foreign Relations member.
Yeah. Well, Mika Brzezinski, she comes by her opposition to America, as you say, at least genetically. I mean, she Scarborough, Scarborough, obviously. But I mean, think about this, Hal. Again, Hal Shurtleff's our guest, and he's a longtime activist, conservative leader, campconstitution.net. I always point out Sam Blumenfeld's archive is housed there with them, is a phenomenally important writer. Besides the fact that Scarborough is an opportunist, and once he was out of office, he reverted to whatever this is, and he wants to, you know, he's married to this woman now and all that. But, it's 1996. This is not 1966. It's 1996, and he's at a JBS, a John Birch Society event. That's not mild. Even then, you'd take a ration of heat from the press. They'd say, oh, boy, this is your, you know, you're with the conservatives that believe X, Y, Z. I mean, you know, if we discovered that somebody who had not admitted that they were totally soulless like him, a liberal might get in real trouble if they were saying, oh, you're at a JBS meeting. I mean, it's not going to the National Right to Life meeting or the NRA banquet. These is hardcore, you know, conservatives who are fearless about it. And there he is.
What was interesting is I think what prompted me to write that article, it's on our blog, and I posted a link to the video. It was an audio, and I converted it into a YouTube video. So you don't get him speaking at the podium. You know, you don't get a footage. You just get the audio and his pictures throughout the video. I think it's only maybe 30 minutes long. But he was defending Biden's State of the Union. I call it Hate of the Union, Yell Fest.
Right.
Not State of the Union. Talk about gaslighting. That's a typical example. We all saw this man. We all saw how he was heckled, and he gave in to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm glad he did. And he was fumbling and bumbling and yelling. It was a disgrace. Anyone, any third party just sitting there, you know, critiquing a speech would say, who the heck is this guy? How did he get on in the contest here? You know,
right.
He's disqualified.
Right.
And yet he's defending him. I thought, my goodness, how could any, even a moderate? Now, Scarborough left the Republican Party. He really hated Trump. In August of 16, he's, oh, we need to replace him. He's a disaster. So he hated Trump from day one. But the bottom line, you could dislike Trump, but how in the world can you praise Biden?
Well, and Hal, that's exactly right. But again, we're not surprised. It's just worth pointing out to people. You know, when you know who says it, you know a lot about what they're saying and what it means. You know, as you point out that Scarborough was a congressman when it was convenient. He was very conservative, and in this case, really on point. I mean, you know, he's and fighting against the stuff that now his wife. And again, people can marry somebody that they disagree with earlier in their life. I'm not judging that part. I'm saying when he defends Biden like he did, it's just so embarrassing. And you want to be like, wait, back here, you were actually speaking in a sane way. By the way, you just said, Hal, that it's on your blog. Where is that? On campconstitution.net or where?
Yes. Yeah. Campconstitution.net. You'll find it. But if you just go to our YouTube channel, Constitution, and you do a search, you know, just put in Joe Scarborough speech at a John Birch Society meeting, or just put in Joe Scarborough. Uh-huh. It should come right up.
Okay.
I just posted it about a month ago, not too long ago.
Campconstitution.net is the website, and you can get to most of those places through there and do a search. I'll put a link up on, Hal, how do you think the fight against the, you know, sort of globalists is going? I know it feels like there's a lot of energy opposing it, but, you know, last week there were some Polish friends of mine, patriots from Poland, and they were in Washington, D.C. area because the European Union, we didn't even notice, they passed 267 amendments, the European Union did, unanimously. And when they were done passing these amendments, if they pass them, they have to be ratified now, they will basically, you know, strengthen the EU to the point that it's more like a super state than it is a confederation of states. And I kind of shook my head and thought, we think we're winning because we're finally paying attention to the fact that there's these threats, but the march is on all around us.
Well, all I can say is that God is on the throne. And we just have to keep on keeping on, get opportunities wherever they are. But, you know, we're seeing some people get elected that you would never expect in South America, you know, dismantling El Salvador. You've got from one of the most violent and dangerous countries in the world to I think it's safer in El Salvador than definitely Chicago. I think he's telling the migrants to come back to El Salvador, where it's a whole lot safer than Chicago. So but I know that I think it was, I'm quoting Robert Welch, who was the founder of the John Birch Society, not directly quoting, but he said something to the effect that the insiders would be running naked to the finish line. In other words, they, in order for them to obtain the true objective, they have to show themselves, and that's what they're doing.
Hal Sherliff is our guest again, campconstitution.net. Hal, give me a 1 minute or so on Camp Constitution, and tell people what to do to get their young people there. And it's not sold out yet, is it? Sometimes it sells out so quick.
It's getting there, but we also have a ladies retreat and a weekend retreat coming up. Weekend retreat's in late September. Ladies retreat is second week in April. And all of them are in New Hampshire. But it's actually a family camp. It's not just for, say, children. We do have unaccompanied children, but we also have full families, mom, dad, even in-laws come. And it runs from July 14th to the 19th. You can go to our website, and there's an application there. If you have any questions, just contact us. And if you're coming from long distances, we can pick you up at airports and drop you back off. We do our best to accommodate as many people as we can.
All right. Well, now that you threatened me about my mother-in-law coming, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to be less. You don't contact people's mother-in-law automatically and tell them, do you want to come, do you?
Well, no, we don't. We'll put her in a separate room. How's that?
Maybe a separate key, a separate cabin. All right. Hal Sherliff, thank you for sending it out. I'll put up on social media the link to this Joe Scarborough speech, really lengthy speech on how conservative he is, how much he opposes the Trilateral Commission, everything else. He's fighting against all the bad stuff. And now, years later, he's defending Biden, married to one of the founders of the Trilateral Commission's daughters. And here we are. The swamp gets swampier. So thanks very much, Hal. We appreciate it.
All right, as always. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. And we'll take a break and be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily commentary continuing the conservative pro-family legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
Texans have never liked tyranny from Washington, D.C., and the 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court emergency ruling against the Lone Star State tosses fuel on a smoldering fire. Without explanation, five justices in Washington, D.C. authorized the Biden administration to destroy Texas-owned razor wire fencing that stemmed the flow of illegal aliens near the border town of Eagle Pass. Texas officials videoed federal agents cutting holes in the fencing last year on 20 occasions for no apparent reason other than to allow illegal aliens to enter our country. In authorizing the Biden administration to completely destroy this border fence, it was the ninth time that the Supreme Court granted an emergency application by the Biden administration. It is appalling how the Supreme Court dodges other issues to hurriedly accommodate Joe Biden's open border agenda. Texas erected this barbed fencing to establish order against an overwhelming flood of illegal aliens. And the Fifth Circuit had sided with Texas pending its review. More illegal migrants entered the United States in the last month of 2023 than in any other month before that, according to data obtained by CBS News from the Biden administration. Texas is bearing the brunt of this invasion. But merely a tiny fraction of these illegals has overwhelmed New York City. While paying lip service to private property and state sovereignty in other cases, two Republican appointees, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett, switched sides to join the three-justice liberal voting bloc to rule for Biden. Chief Justice Roberts seems to always side with the liberal media in high-profile, close votes, so this was no surprise. But Justice Barrett's vote against Texas self-defense was unexpected. As the highest court in the nation, the Supreme Court should be upholding and protecting laws that secure the existence of our nation. Open borders means no distinction between who's inside the nation and who's outside.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Illegal immigration burdens our schools and social services and opens doors to criminals and terrorists. Outdated visa programs divert jobs from Americans. PhyllisSchlafly.com chronicles these outrageous unfair practices and provides answers. Go online to PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for listening and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height here to wrap up the show and close it out for Mr. Ed Martin. Thank you for letting me be with you today. And before we go any farther, let me remind you one more time here in the program. Well, I'm going to remind you again. Let's be honest. We're going to remind you of this another time. But here at the beginning of the end, let me remind you, go to proamericareport.com. There you can subscribe to Ed's Substack, see what he's writing, the long form of a lot of the stuff we're talking about here on the program. And then, of course, you go over to phyllisschlafly.com. You will find the archives of this radio program, the podcasts, some individual guest segments, links and resources, and of course the all-important, all-awesome, every weekday Wink email, what you need to know, into your inbox every morning. Very short, very brief, very helpful. Go sign up for that. You won't regret it, I promise. It will be a very, very good decision that you will enjoy. But before we go any further, before we close out the show, before we let you go for today, I wanted to talk real quick about something on the electoral side. And this is a little bit of an interesting thing. I'm going to go ahead and take an opportunity of shameless self-promotion, as they say, to remind you I also host a program, a weekly program. We have a live stream, and it comes out as a podcast every Thursday at noon or Thursday afternoon. Grab the podcast. It'll come in wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Unauthorized Caucus. That is a very interesting program where we have discussions, much like Ed has great discussions on the Pro America Report here with interviews, interviewees every single day. We have a great discussion on a different topic each and every week and really try to dive into some of the details. Now, sometimes we're covering news headlines. Sometimes we're going deep into a very interesting political, cultural, philosophical topic and kind of bringing different things together. But the point is to bring up the conversation. Talk about the things that you and I, as concerned Americans, as people who want America first, pro-America policies, ought to be talking about and understanding, and these conversations we ought to be starting amongst ourselves. Here's one of them. And this is just indicative of the divide, I think, in the Republican Party and the conservative movement, we could say. There's a news headline here that establishment Republicans, I'm not trying to be insulting here. I'm just trying to be descriptive. But anti-Trump Republicans, more establishment Republicans, they are planning to plow $50 million worth of advertisements into a brand new effort this year to stop President Donald Trump from retaking the White House, from winning election this year. Now, this group, Republican Voters Against Trump, that's the name, Republican Voters Against Trump, RVAT, RAT, kind of RAT? Is it RATS? No, RVAT. They are essentially going to try to feature testimonial videos from former supporters of the president who explain why they're not supporting him anymore. Now, they did the same thing. They have a very similar campaign in 2020, you know, the election that Joe Biden, quote unquote, won. And they shared tons of testimonials and tried to broadcast things. They'll be doing it again this year. But billboards, radio, digital media, TV, streaming platforms, and they're going to do it across battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. But here's what's happening. This group is a so-called Republican group, essentially trying to give permission to Republican voters to say that, well, whatever the complaints that you have are about Joe Biden, Donald Trump is far too dangerous and too unhinged to ever be president again. And who could make this case better than people who say, oh, I was a Donald Trump supporter and now I'm not? Really? Really? I mean, here's the deal. I am not someone, I don't put party above principle, and I certainly don't put political figureheads or public figures above my principles. But I am 100% a Donald Trump supporter, and it's not just because Donald Trump, it's because of what I believe in, and it's because of what he did in his four-year term. That was awesome. Now, make no mistake, would I go in and change things? Yes. Do I wish a lot of the COVID policies hadn't have happened the way that they had? Yes. Do I wish that there would have been more on these different things that are limited government, conservative, whatever the yeah, absolutely. No one's perfect. Ed and I, our former boss, or our late boss, Phyllis Schlafly, we talk about her quite a bit. She used to say, very fond of saying, Jesus is not on the ballot. We are choosing from imperfect people. At each point, we're choosing from imperfect people. So, of course, there's more that I wish could have been done, or some of these things that I wish wouldn't have been done. But overall, the Trump administration proves one thing. I cannot believe that anyone would now be able to get away with convincing conservative or Republican voters that Donald Trump is too unhinged to be president. What a load of hooey. Because that four-year term was fantastic on an economic level, on a foreign policy level, on a domestic energy policy level. There was so much winning, so many good things that happened. It's just a load of garbage. But I tell you what, this is, I think, indicative of the primary battle. The heart of the battle inside the Republican Party is that of principled conservatism and that of the movement of the last 20 years that has given itself over to globalist interests, that has given itself over to war hawkish foreign policy that bows to the military industrial complex. There are all of these things that do not represent the true liberty minded traditional values that I believe America was founded upon and that are exemplified by our framers and the founding fathers, what they wanted for our nation. It has become something else entirely, a machine that feeds off of itself. This definitely, in my mind, is the Republican representation of what a lot of people are calling the Uniparty, this establishment that just gets power and seeks to keep itself in power and influence, to cycle out the names, but we're always taking care of our own. Guess what? I think the conservative voters are done with that. I think that as a pro-American, as America First voters, people who care about maintaining the integrity of our families, maintaining the sovereignty of our nation, we're done with that. We are here to support candidates who support those issues. And I want to say that these folks will meet no success in this massive tens of millions of dollars of efforts. But guess what? They may. I think that this is a clarion call to those of us who are principled conservatives. We're going to have to stand up and speak about the principles and make sure folks focus on that and not the personality, which is exactly what these people want to do, is just turn you off of someone's personality and turn you away from looking at the issues. Principles first, folks. That's what I wanted to say. That's the wrap up. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Pro America Report family. To Ed for hosting the show, to Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything on time. And don't forget, go to proamericareport.com, phyllisschlafly.com, find all of our resources, and we will see you back here tomorrow on another edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.